Your reasons for listening to this show, well, those are your own. But just keep in mind that the views, information, or opinions expressed on the Tuttle Daily Podcast are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of our sponsors. Yeah, it's called free speech, people.
Nobody's forcing you to listen.
Get ready for your daily dose of Tuttle.
The all-time greatest intern slash producer we've ever had, of course, Tuttle. Tuttle in Florida.
From the Hobo Fish Camp, it's the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
No wonder nobody likes you,
that
Tuttle.
Everything's
a goddamn debate.
All right, guys, greetings and welcome to another edition of the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Hopefully you guys have had a great week. I would love to catch up with you guys. If you'd love to call in, I would actually love for you to call in. You can easily do that, 407-270-3044. Once again, 407-270-3044. You can also text on that number. I try to feature as many messages from the chat room. This is the first time that you're tuning in. I'm on multiple platforms streaming at the same time. So you can put up a comment on whatever platform you're watching on, and I could put it up on the screen so everybody can see it. So let's have a fun show today. Coming up at 7:15, Flobo Boyce. It's a very interesting name, but Flobo Boyce, he is a comedian, master of ceremonies, and an award-winning DJ. So Flobo is going to join me here real soon. I got a lot of questions I want to ask him. Award-winning DJ. I did some research, and he does a lot of wedding DJing, which is, I'm always fascinated with that. I have a lot of questions about that. But once again, if you want to call in, 407-270-3044. I got to tell you, today was probably one of the most perfect days of football, or if you're an American, soccer. I know that a lot of Americans are not watching the World Cup anymore now that the United States is out of it. We all knew that was going to happen. The only time Americans care about soccer or football is when the United States is playing in the World Cup. I would almost guarantee you that not a lot of Americans probably watched the Russia World Cup. Now, there was probably quite a few, but not as much as there usually is and stuff. There's no way at all that was true. But today, the two matches today, mwah, I am not a fan of the penalty shootouts. I hate it. I sometimes think that the best team does not win. Joe the Supermark, he says, oh, fuck soccer. It was good texting with you, Joe, the other day. I really appreciate that. Because I still have not heard the audio. I have not found it yet. But Joe the Supermark ended up texting me and said, hey, Bubba's talking about you. I was like, nah. He was like, you probably already know. I was like, no, man. I'm busy trying. I'm being responsible working. I mean, no dig on Bubba or anything, but I don't get to listen a lot because I love to get my work day started. I'll start at 7. Yeah, I heard that, Joe. I didn't hear it with my own ears, but yeah, I've heard that like 2 days in a row, Bubba the Love Sponge has talked about me. And I did not talk about this because I did have a text conversation with Bubba not too long ago. When was this? It was November 29th. And I'm not going to get into what we talked about, because that is, you know, private conversation between me and him. But I will say this, it was all positive. And it really wasn't even about work, per se, until the very end. It was just more about, how you doing, Tuttle? How are things in your world? How was Thanksgiving? Happy birthday as well, too. You know, so I thought that was really, really, really cool. And it was left off that he was like, look, we want to do some stuff. And I'm being as vague as possible. I'm not going to say anything at all. And I was like, thank you. And the last thing he said, I'm on it. So I think I'm trying to play it cool. And I don't dislike Anna at all. I really like Anna. I know a lot of you guys think that I do hate Anna, but I really don't. Because, like, the times that I was calling in and stuff about Anna, she was the new shiny toy on the show and stuff. So, of course, I was going to go after Anna. Yeah, I said some really bad things about Anna. Yeah, I told her, if she wanted to, be over, like, if she wanted to be over at the BRN, like, with the fans, if she wanted to be over with the fans, I said the first piece of content that you need to be doing is eating an apple through a chain link fence. I know that's not the nicest thing to tell a woman that, oh yeah, you should eat an apple through a chain link fence like you're a horse or something. No, it was a mess up thing for me to say. It really was. But did I really mean that? No, I did not mean that at all. If I'm just being upfront and honest, that I was just being a dick. I saw somebody and. Radio is a little bit like prison. Like, okay, if you want to make it, do you know what you got to do? You got to go to the new, big, fancy, tough toy in the radio business, and you got to go straight for the jugular with that. And that's what I did, and I turned out to look like the complete asshole, which it was kind of an asshole thing to say. Do I really hate Anna? Did I have anything? No, if I'm being honest, I think Anna's really, really good. She is amazing at what she does. So I was just going after her because that was like the new shiny little toy at the BRN after Tuttle was fired. After he did the work that turned into a bigger work and then it got him fired. Yeah, I mean, Joe, the supermarket says, now I enjoy her immensely because she has found her role. It is. And I'm not, like, trying to be one of those people that are like, oh, we have to have gender equality and everything. No, I mean, I do agree that we need that. But at the same time, it is tough. It is very, very tough. It would be tough for any woman. Matter of fact, I think Anna is the longest continuously running female personality on the Bubble the Love Sponge show. I mean, Tara was good. I thought Bubba's sister was amazing on the show, but I think Anna has been there for like over 2 years now, right? So what I'm trying to say though is that environment. And I'm not saying we are all a bunch of dicks or anything like that, but at the same time, that is a hard environment for a female to be able to go into and not, like, take things too seriously and not get butt hurt or know that it is all just a part of the entertainment value of what the Bubble Love Sponge show offers. Well, Joe, I don't know. Like, what time is Bubba doing the show? Like, it starts at 9, correct? Because, like, if I'm being honest, I would most certainly call in to the show. So, I mean, because back to what I was saying, I'm playing it cool when it comes to the whole Bubba thing. Like, I'm not going to be overly aggressive or whatever when it comes to trying to get back on the show. And I know, like, I'm never, ever going to be a part of the terrestrial show. It's just, it's not going to happen, people. I burned that bridge, and it's all because of the stuff that I had to say about Florida Man Radio and everything. So, I mean, I don't know. Big Doobie says, Tuttle and Lummy had twice as many viewers for their after show. I will say this, and let's not leave out, because let's be honest. One of the things that was talked about is that when Bubba was talking about me and stuff, but, you know, the whole thing is about me and Colton doing a show. So let's not forget about Colton. And if me and Colton were to do a show and then Lummy wanted to be on it, or Bubba wanted Lummy to be on it, whatever. Like, I am a new person. Like, I'm not going to get bent out of shape. I have been working in the corporate world for over a year now, and it's been a good thing for me, because if I'm being honest, and I know that's a buzzword I'm using a lot, and I do that because I do go back and listen to the shows that I do. I hate my voice, by the way, but I listen to them just to see if I'm using a lot of crutch words. And I think I've already used, like, if I'm being honest, like 4 or 5 times in the first 13 minutes of the show. And I'm going to be able to hear that when I listen back and be like, oh, if I'm being honest. But I think that myself, Lummix, Colton, I didn't say those in any particular order because of anybody's importance or anything like that. Everybody knows I'm in love with Colton, you know, not in a romantic way, but as in a family member way, a brother type, a brother. So, yes, I'm excited about it. So, all that happened. And I know that I got all squirreled on the World Cup stuff. But, man, those were two great matches today. Argentina won. And I'll get into it, because I know my guest is about to call in soon, but Brazil goes down against Croatia, and I think it's all because they were cursed by a cat. If you guys go to my Twitter account, twitter.com/Tuttle, or just go to Twitter and search at Tuttle, that if you search it, I guess during the pre-match press conference, well, not I guess, I know, I've done a lot of research about it, a cat decided that he was going to, like, chill out on the table where the press conference was happening. Joe, you know what, I would like to talk to you about that. So hold on, Joe, okay? Hey, what's up, my friend?
What's going on, baby?
Flobo Boyce.
That's what they call me.
Now, did I get it right? Because I'm always afraid, like, when I have guests on, that I'm going to butcher the names.
Oh, I'm the same way. And it's always bad when someone's like, it's fine. No, it's cool. No, you got it right. You got it
no,
right.
So Flo, Bo, you know what it reminds me of? Because, like, I'm into the Olympics. I love every, I love, what are you drinking there?
This is Pink Starburst C4, an energy drink.
Pink Starburst C4. Like, now, I mean, how much sugar is in that drink?
I think these are sugar-free. These
they
things.
Are?
Yeah, they're 0%, but I don't know if it's aspartame or if yeah. It's
it's like sucralose. Everything's going to poison us anyway. So
you might as- sorbate, I think, is the sugar here.
Yeah, you might as well just go for it. I mean, they come out with new stuff all the time talking about, oh, it's going to kill us. Like if you burn your toast too much. If you burnt toast, that's carcinogens yeah. and all that right. stuff. And it's real weird. But Flobo, before we get into the interview, I like to give my guests, when they come on, the floor to be able to promote themselves because I can do all the research I want to, but I'm not going to be able to promote it like you could. Like you always say that you should always be your biggest promoter. Yeah, I mean, a lot of people take that as, oh, he has an ego. He has, you know, an ego or whatever. But if you're not going to promote yourself, then who is? Like you should be your biggest promoter.
Right. Yeah. I always say that when someone goes, I don't want to toot my own horn. It's like, well, it's your horn. Who the hell's going to toot it?
Yes.
Besides you. Well, there's a lot of slashes about my name. Comedian, podcaster, author, Dr. Divinity. You know, I do weddings as well, wedding DJ. But I like to say I'm a live entertainment professional. Mm. One of the cool things about my career is that I do everything with a microphone. So formerly, I worked at Spotify, one of the wrestling shows called the Mac Media Podcast. I'm an esports shoutcaster in Rocket League. So I do the commentary for that stuff. And then I'm a working comedian. So I go out on the road. I tell jokes for a living. So anything with a microphone, that's me.
And you actually have like some stand-up specials that are recorded and stuff as well too, right?
Yeah, Cookies and Beer from 2016, and then American for Now, which came after that, both available wherever you get your audio entertainment. I'm a Spotify guy, but you know, if you're an Apple person or Tidal, it's there too.
Flobo, so Cookies and Beer, all right, so that kind of stood out because I went on your YouTube channel and you eat a lot of like weird food combinations and stuff. Is that where Cookies and Beer come from, or like
yes and no. Like I do love my weird food combinations. I formerly had a Patreon. This is what you're referring to, the series called Flobo Tries, where I do try weird stuff for those enjoyment. But when I closed my Patreon this year, I decided to roll that out and almost like bonus content. So you'll see me do the Oreo tour and all those weird things. But it actually came from a night where I was going to see my girlfriend at the time. And she stopped by. I was going to the store. I had a sweet tooth. I was on a diet, really. So I was going to cheat on my diet. I was going to get some cookies. And she said, hey, can you bring back some wine or something just to make an adult night? And I put some wine on the conveyor belt. And I was like, I don't want to do this. I don't know. I'll just say I'll get the beer and then say, I forgot. This is why we're single now. So I put the beer and the cookies on the conveyor belt. And the cashier looked at me like I was crazy. Like I wasn't going to be like, you know, getting... you know, something nefarious. I said, no, that's what adulthood is. I can eat cookies for dinner because no one's going to stop me. And I'm going to drink my adult beverages. And so I actually mentioned that in the last joke of that special. Kind of changed some of the things to protect the innocent. But that's where it first started from.
You know, I'm alcohol free since 2020. But back in the day, there was nothing better than have an alcoholic beverage when you weren't supposed to have an alcoholic beverage. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
Okay. So like, say you got the day off during the weekday. Okay. And like when I used to drink still, like I worked late at night. Okay. Worked overnight. Mm-hmm. Okay. But I used to get like the ugliest look sometimes, like, cause you couldn't buy beer or alcohol until 7 a.m. in certain places here in Florida. And even though I'm working a completely different schedule, I would get such dirty looks. I'd be like, "Oh man, what is he up to? He's buying beer and liquor or alcohol at like 7 o'clock in the morning."
Yeah, you know, when I lived in Florida, I think they had those ABC stores, right? So yeah. That was always mm-hmm. a thing. Yeah, they had to go in the mission. But here in California, it's like you could buy booze at Target or at CVS.
Oh, you can.
It's pretty great. but you're right. The timing thing matters because there's some days I wake up and I'll go, I'm not like drinking today. But if I was taking a 6 a.m. flight somewhere, I'll definitely have a beer.
Oh, if you're taking a flight and you go to the airport, man, you got to have one. But there's a fine balance, though, okay?
Yeah.
Because if you've... All right, so there's a good mixture, Flobo, on this, is that if you're going to have some drinks, you better be on your best behavior because the staff is looking for any reason to kick you off the flight. Like, if you're being rude at all and they smell any alcohol, all they got to tell is the TSA was like, he's too drunk to fly or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you got to be I was a smart alcoholic back in the day, man. I really, really was. I was. And, you know, like one of the radio stations I was working at, like we weren't in a corporate setting. The radio show, we were nationally syndicated, but the guy owned his own building, his own studio. Like he was he had everything there. Like he didn't need a radio station. He could just broadcast from his own studio.
Yeah.
We could get high. We could smoke pot if we wanted to before the show. Like I could drink. There'd be some mornings I would already be like 8 shots of, cause we had a sponsorship, with like this vodka company in Tampa. And like, we would have those like little airplane bottles, like they would throw. So if I told a funny joke or whatever, like he'd throw a little miniature mini bar bottle across the room. And if I caught it, I could drink it. And like, if my hand eye coordination, I was being funny that day, man, I would be wasted by 10 a.m.
It just, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, but like, look, it was fun times. Oh, it was such fun times. Oh my God, it was fun, but it was not great because the next thing in a couple of years after my divorce, I was like, oh man, I'm getting fat. And then, you know, since I stopped drinking and stuff, I've gotten in better shape and everything. So,
absolutely.
Enough about me. So I got to talk about wedding.
I like hearing about you. That was pretty cool. My jobs aren't nearly as fun as that.
But wedding DJ. Okay.
That's one of my jobs. That's the night. That's the day job. That's at night and weekend.
That is the one that I have the most interest about. Okay.
Tell me
what is the single lady bridesmaid, how many have you bagged a wedding DJ? Come on, man. Like I can only imagine, especially if you're like, if I was a wedding DJ, I would only DJ weddings that had open bars because I'd be like, yep, I will have the pick of any of the bridesmaids. I don't care. I can go from the top of the scale when it comes to looks. And if I get desperate, I can go hogging.
If you're asking me specifically, the answer is zero. I've bagged no bridesmaids.
What the? Okay, anything?
No, I haven't. I'm so concerned about my gear because I'm a mobile DJ. I pack everything up and I leave. So I personally would. But the guys I DJ'd with, probably almost every time, because you, like a bartender, you're giving out the good vibes. And if it's not your day, if you are a bridesmaid, you're probably looking for something.
Okay, all right.
So I've never had.
I bet this guy tried to steal the bride from her husband. Like, have you ever had a bride that maybe made you a little uncomfortable? It was like, you know.
I will say, yeah. There was one time, there's two stories. One time where a best man confessed his love to the bride during his speech. And it's not like the movie. She didn't like run off with them. It was kind of weird and creepy.
Yeah.
But there was one time I did a wedding where the bride was like trashed, which is okay. It's her day, right? If there's any one day you can go get trashed, it's your wedding day. Mm-hmm. But she was getting trashed and she was always coming out of her dress. Again, not my problem. I never wore a wedding dress before. They're probably difficult. But she always wanted to have the microphone to make speeches. Mm. So I got so nervous because there was just a photographer taking pictures of me and the bride with her, you know, her girls out. And I was always like, I'm looking around. It was just the most awkward photos I've ever seen in my life. And the groom is like holding her baby going like, he's like, now all the time. It's okay.
Wait. The bride, so this was like a shotgun wedding then almost then, right? Like, so
I would say so, yeah.
And if a lot of you, if you're just new to the show and you don't know what a shotgun wedding is, it's like you get the bride pregnant before you actually get married, and the father basically holds shotgun to your back to force you to get married type deal. So Flowboat. So, all right, I have ADHD, so I'm going to jump all around the place and everything. So what is the weirdest location you've ever officiated a wedding or DJed a wedding at?
The weirdest? It's kind of sterile over here in Southern California. Like, people,
like, have you ever done it at a bowling alley at Lake or
an Irish bar once. I did a
sign me up for that. Yeah.
The groom side loved it. The bride side was like, oh, where is the ceremony? Oh, it's upstairs?
The Irish, though. The Irish might be a little racist. I'm just saying, you know, you got to worry about, you know, pay the money.
Who is it racist? That's the problem.
Oh, everybody is. I mean, but the Irish, you know, everybody wants to talk about all the racism in America. Yeah, it's bad. There's racism. You know, I've been watching a lot of the World Cup. Did you into sports at all or?
Oh yeah. I mean, it's kind of hard being on the West Coast. A lot of times like football starts at 10 o'clock in the morning. On
I
Sundays,
know,
but
it starts 10 a.m. and it's 7 a.m. for you. A lot of people forget America is a big ass country. So it's like, West Coasters are all like watching it at 7 a.m.
Oh yeah. F1's done before like daybreak. I've been watching sports. I'm a sports person. I'm a baseball fan more. That's like my number one sport.
Dodgers, Padres. Oh, but you're out on the West Coast. Or did you? Are
I'm
you
from Brooklyn.
Oh,
I'm,
you
I'm
are.
I'm born in Brooklyn. Yeah. I moved out here 15 years ago for grad school. But I'm from Brooklyn.
Yeah, but everybody moves to California. They, you know, there's a lot of competition there. Like, why don't people go to like, Idaho, where they had those murders at up there. You know?
I think you oversold it, man.
Well, I'm just saying, there's no competition. People are getting, there's quadruple homicides in Idaho. There's less competition for jobs there, you know, like,
well,
or you can
I
look at it
from the outside looking in, because my dad's the same thing. My dad is an avid Fox News watcher, and he always hears the reports when like the employment unemployment records for California comes
your
out.
Your dad watches Fox News?
Yeah.
You see where I asked that question, right? Like, all right.
I mean, it's the most popular news network on cable.
All right. No, so would you, are you conservative or are you, your father? Cause I don't support either side. I'm just asking because I like to talk it out.
Yeah. Neither do I. I grew up in a two-party household. This is the whole premise of my second album, America for Now. So I grew up in a two-party household. My dad registered. So he's literally Republican. Mm-hmm. And my mom never registered, but she would be considered conservative and progressive. Mm-hmm. But I have to say this because everyone assumes the opposite. They're both black. My parents are both black. Everyone's like, oh, it's your dad's white, huh? Like, no, he's black. He's just black.
I didn't want to say that, by the way. Yeah,
but you were thinking.
Oh, I was. I'll be honest. I was like, I don't know. I'm looking at him right now. He could have like a half white father or something, you know?
You know what's funny? Because it's 15 to 18 million of us, and there's only two major political parties. Of course, by nature, our probabilities, someone's going to be the other side. But it's always been cool growing up in that household because you see both sides all the time, and they always bickered, so I never got into politics at all. I ran for office myself, nonpartisan.
What you did?
So here in Palms, which is a neighborhood I live in, it's LA's first neighborhood, I ran to be like a business representative, almost like a mayor, but for businesses in my neighborhood to see if we can like, you know, increase our whole influence on the West Side. Came in last place, I lost, but I ran. I ran nonpartisan because I didn't really feel strongly either side to say I'm conservative or liberal. But
All right. So all right, your dad is did he vote for Trump?
My dad stopped voting about 8 years ago. And he felt that being a conservative in New York City is kind of hard, right? It's kind of like throwing your vote away because the city has been progressive for so long. So he stopped voting, but I do believe he gave money to, if not Trump directly, but probably, you know, whatever.
All right.
Support.
Speaking of New York is getting a little bad right now, isn't it? Like, does your parents and stuff still live in New York or no?
Yeah, everyone's still in Brooklyn. I'm the only one that came out west to follow my dreams.
Do you ever worry about them though? Because like I'm hearing that it's getting bad in and some of the areas around there, you know, like the subways are becoming dangerous to ride on, you know, just I hear that's getting bad, or is that just propaganda by the news?
I think it's there's a general worry because my parents are older, right? So they had me later in their lives, and so they're now like in their 70s, and I worry because of not so much the crime themselves getting hurt, but because the crime is up, and of course the news reports on it more often, they have been essentially shocked into not going outside. So I'll call my dad and say, "Let me."
But the pandemic also probably had a little bit to do with that as well, too.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, even if I think our neighborhood is just as safe when I go down there than when I was a kid, it's actually a lot safer than it was. If I say, hey, Dad, I'm going to fly you out and we can meet in, I don't know, Atlanta or Alaska or whatever. He goes, I'm not going outside. It's dangerous out there. And I go, well, how? Well, I've heard on the news. And I think that has done more than the actual crime itself. I never go home and feel more unsafe than before. It's just that now with the news being the way it is, my parents want to go outside. And I think,
where were your parents born? Were they born in that area or no?
No, my parents are both West Indian. They're from Barbados.
Barbados. And now that's Caribbean, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. You know, a lot of people just think that North America is just like Mexico, Canada, and the United States. But a lot of people forget about all the Caribbean islands and stuff. That are there, and how many different cultures and stuff that we have in those small little island nations.
Right. Yeah. I mean, there's dozens in it from influences too. There's a Spanish Caribbean. There's like ones up by the Dutch. There were old French colonies.
Haitian, kind of French, Haitian, yeah. You know, like there's so, because that was an area where there was a lot of colonialism, you know, like other countries from Europe and stuff coming there.
Absolutely.
So you're out in California, you've been there. What has been the big differences between New York, California? You know, back in the day, we had East Coast, West Coast, Biggie, Tupac, all that stuff. Yeah. Any like cultural differences you've found?
It's funny because I always think that here is normal until I go to Florida. And I feel like people from Florida are very obsessed with the politics in California. But what I think is with California, I like the weather. It's true. You can surf and snowboard the same day. It's very image conscious. You know, just for backstory, it's actually mentioned in my book. My entire life.
Recreational weed.
Oh, yeah, it's legal. Actually, you can get it delivered to your house if you like. Damn. The taxes are crazy. But yeah, you can walk to the store, show your card, and then you can then buy whatever you want.
Damn.
It's really cool.
Because we only got medical now.
I mean, ideally, a car will always trump recreation, but it's cool to have that option.
Yeah, it is.
But what I like about here, about California, is that there's a lot of like people that get what you do. You can say things like, I'm a podcaster, I'm a broadcaster.
And they'll look at you, Liz. They don't look at you like, oh, man, get a real job or something.
Right. You know? And sometimes you need that. Sometimes you need to go back to New York and be like, yo, money, what the hell is that? What is a Spotify podcast? What's a video game commentator? But when you're trying to start off and see to build your own brand or whatever, I mean, it's kind of cool to be in that neighborhood. And it's such image consciousness. That's my point. I used to be 400 pounds or 375 pounds.
No fucking way. No.
True story. Yeah. I used to be a biggin, as they call it. But out here in California, everyone's so self-conscious and health conscious. You could buy quinoa bowls on the corner or avocados. Like it helped me to lose the weight. It wouldn't have happened if I was in New York
You're in the South where everything's just fried. Like, hey, yeah. you want some butter on your toast? Yeah, let me fry this butter before you put it on your toast and stuff, you know.
Absolutely.
Like, but
I was in Nashville for 3 days this summer. I was like, how do people do this? I can't.
So good though. But yeah, if I'm being honest though, I mean, the South is a little bit of a hardier type people though. Like,
yeah, because they work with their hands traditionally.
Yeah, well, but a lot of people don't realize this. Everybody's like, you know, wouldn't you agree that I'm not saying the North has a bunch of pussies or anything, but you would say, I'm just saying, but wouldn't you say the South, we just had to be tougher. We just had, I think with the diseases and stuff that happened, like people in the South are like, fuck this. I ain't wearing a mask. I'm not getting vaccinated. Guess what? We told our kids to go out and play out in the dirt. you played out in the mud or whatever. Yeah. Also, what generation are you from? You Gen Xer, millennial?
I prefer the term Generation Y, because that's what they called me. But yes, it'll be a millennial at this point.
Okay, so, but you were, like, what year were you born, though?
1985.
85?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you're only, like, 5 years away from being a Gen Xer. So you were, like, you grew up in that generation where, like, you probably, some of your teenage years, you could leave the house. You didn't have to worry about your mom and dad, like, being able to, like, call you on a cell phone or whatever, right? Like, you could go out and play. As long as you didn't do something really friggin' dumb, you didn't get caught. Like, for real, right? Am I right or am I wrong?
I mean, yeah, I do think one of the cool things about being born where we are is that we appreciate technology and things like that, or having a pager. But yeah, we were the last, like,
generation
kind of thing. Yeah. Oh, because the neighborhood would vouch. If you went outside and caused ruckus, someone's neighbor would tell your mom and it'd be a wrap. We don't really talk to our neighbors anymore. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like
my parents had, like, because I grew up in a town, like, I had to ride my bike. I know this is going to sound, because now I've been catching myself as I've gotten older, Flobo, that I'll be like, man, I'm saying a lot of stuff when I was younger that I was like, if I ever sound like that, I would kick my own ass. You see what I'm saying? And now I'm like, oh, man, I used to have to ride 5 miles down a dirt road to get to town to hang out with my buddies and stuff. But it was the truth. It was the truth. But, like, we, like, as long as we were back in by 9, but back, I digress, back to it, my parents gave permission to some of the closer family, friends of the family. Like, if you see my kid acting up, you have permission to put the hand to him. Like, it was that way. But you can't do that now, though, because people would, like, completely look down on that.
Right. And I understand. And again, I like to single you out, you being us Southern dwellers, right? Because I went to college in the South the first time. So I was 18 years old when I moved to Florida. I lived there for 4 years.
Where'd you go to school in Florida?
Flagler College. I'm a saint.
You know, like, I'm in Volusia County right now, south of Flagler.
Okay. Yeah,
like, I'm in Daytona. So, man, Flagler got really tore up from this last hurricane, man.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the erosion on the beaches and stuff. My good friend Daniel went to, so Flagler, so were you around St. Augustine? Did you go to St. Augustine type campus?
Yeah, I live on campus.
So then you were, like, by the Lion Bridge then, right there. You know, the bridge with the lion statue?
The bridge of lions, yeah.
That, I mean, that's a great town, but that place got destroyed too pretty bad during the last hurricane. And there was a bunch of shipwrecks that got uncovered from the erosion. Like, they found merchant shipwrecks from, like, the early 1800s, like, on the beach.
I don't want to say that's cool because, like, it's damage, obviously. That's interesting, right? Having history enough itself.
Yeah. I mean, I thought it was kind of cool, but, like, man, we got it, like, really bad. But I also don't feel bad for the people that live on the beach. You know, you chose to live there, right?
I personally am not a beach person, so it was kind of interesting for me being there. But, the point I was trying to say about the whole parenting thing is that, yeah, we grew up in the North, and from the Southern perspective, it seems that all of us are kind of like, oh, no, Jeffrey, go ahead and do what you want. And those people did exist. And I think that's really interesting to me how, as I lived in different parts of this country, we have these stereotypes about regions of people, which aren't true. Because my parents, granted they were immigrants, beat the hell out of me as a kid. And not in a bad way. I'm not like saying, oh, my gosh, my parents beat me. It's kind of like, yeah, if I did something, that was the way to discipline me because you don't get caught with your cookie handed jar, or you don't embarrass the family outside doing something weird. Probably the reason why I don't have kids myself, because I could not do that, right?
I just turned 43, no kids.
Respect, child free, baby. but yeah, I think a lot of it is that kind of generational shift of what they call now, what we call go out and play is now called being a free range child and things like that. It just seems that everything is shifting. That's just the nature of the game.
I talked to my buddy, the guy that produces my show. His son just turned 18. You know, he's got a car and... But, like, he's not I'm telling you right now, when I got my first car, that was a game changer. And you could not get me to stay in the house.
Oh yeah.
What was your first car? Mine was a Dodge Omni, 4-speed.
Nice.
Biggest piece of crap, but I loved it. It was fun, and I could dog that car as hard as I wanted to, and it would just still keep ticking. Could not destroy that car.
The Dodges back then were tanks, man. They're Reliant and all that stuff too. No, I my first year of college, I didn't think I needed a car because I was from Brooklyn. I was like, I'll get the bus. And you're like, there ain't no buses out here, Flobo.
Florida, you have to have mass. There's not real any mass transit.
They didn't tell me that until my second year. So between my first and second year of college, I got a 1999 Toyota Camry Solara, the two-door.
Good one.
The coupe. So it was like super long doors. And plus it had to be long enough to fit me because I was 375 pounds. It was size 6X shirt. So I couldn't like jump in like a Dodge Neon. It had to be a big car. Mm. So the Toyota Camry Solara, my first one.
300 pounds. Can I ask? 375. Okay. So, all right. So what are you at right now?
I would say 215 on a good day.
How tall of a dude are you though?
6 foot. So okay, I'm supposed to be 199 if I wanted to be military ready, but I'm like, nah, I'm not going
to
be there.
You need to get on that David Goggins. You need to be like David Goggins. You just be like, hey, you know, sometimes he's a little over the top. He's like, I'm going to run 35 miles today. And then when I get done with this, I'm going to run all the way up to the North Pole right now. And I'm going to crack open the ice and I'm going to do an ice bath in the Arctic waters. And it's just like, man, calm down, dude.
I like wings, man. I like wings and beer. I don't need to do all that. Donuts and cheeseburgers. It's all good.
But man, he's intense. But, you know, he was a big guy as well. And he was just like, but man, he's just like on it. He's like, man, you got to do stuff every day that you fucking hate. And I'm like,
oh, yeah.
Why do I want to do that? But it is kind of true. It does build character.
Yeah, it does. I always say that the days I didn't want to do it or work out or whatever, it was like brushing your teeth or showering, right? Like it may not be the best idea to skip it, so just do it.
can we spend a little bit of time talking about cancel culture a little bit?
Okay,
so you do...
I don't know them. They're not dear friends of mine.
Okay, no, but I know that. But being a comedian, do you like ever worry about that stuff? Because one of the guys that I think is untouchable is Chappelle. Like, he just does not care. Right. And I think he is one of the few comedians that is uncancelable.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you. I feel like the cancel culture thing is a nice construct. It's nice to throw our hands up and complain. But I think about who was really, truly canceled. Like, losing your job on a TV show, at a news show, isn't much canceling. And if someone gets fired from a job, I have to ask, are they saying and doing any things besides whatever they're being canceled for? As a comedian, I'm not worried about cancel culture because I don't try to take anyone down. The only thing I worry about now when I write material is sometimes you don't really know if you're offending people, right? If you get on stage, you're like, the problem with these people are this, and someone goes, hey, that's disrespectful, I go, well, you put yourself in that position. But the thing I worry about is making a joke about, I don't know, blocks, and someone being like, yo, my dad is half block. That's racist. And I go, what? You know what I mean? Not see that coming at all. I feel like usually you have a chance to defend yourself. If someone says, hey, look, out of context, explain. Usually it's on Twitter or social media, or you have a chance to do an apology. And sometimes when people double down or go, I shoot from the hip, I tell it like it is, that's where you put yourself into trouble. And the thing about it is people kind of forget things. They blow over. Like, I look at Paula Deen. She was canceled a couple of years ago. You can still buy her merchandise in the store. It's like, who's really canceled? You know what I mean? Unless you're someone like Kathy Griffin, who was canceled, who said, I'm not going to go back and start over and work clubs anymore, like Louis C.K. did when he was canceled. Mm. She's still canceled because she didn't really want to do the work to come back before she
I went
was,
and saw her so. Live in Lakeland. And I got to tell you, it was a great show. Am I her biggest fan? I went and saw it because she was a guest on a radio show. We had free tickets and stuff, but it was good. It was. Could she have been smarter about the way she handled the whole thing? Yes, of course.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I don't care who you are, who you voted for. You don't do a severed head of the president and then be like, well, it's funny, right? You're like, no just say it's not, you know?
No, but at the same time, there's just things that you know that you just can't joke about. Like, the president stuff, even if you hate look, I believe in absolute freedom of speech. I do. I do. Unless it's not inciting violence. You see what I'm saying? Or mm-hmm. or keeping somebody from practicing their religion or you know, making a living. You see what I'm saying? I don't think that there should be any limitations on it. Or do you think there should be?
I think when you go to a comedy show and you have a comedian on stage, there's a bit of a verbal contract and says, look, this is a safe space as far as you understand at the very basic level, I'm attempting for humor. If I don't make it, I can't make you laugh. But it's not like I'm going to a town square and jumping on a soapbox and doing anything. I had Trump jokes when I first started doing comedy when Trump was just the guy from The Apprentice. And I thought they were pretty funny. I mean, wow. I had a couple bits about being rich and all that stuff. When he became a politician and decided to run for president, you have to take real stock and say political humor is a different level of humor, much like making fun of social issues, making fun of anything like that. You have to be on point and you have to have a message. If you're just doing it for the sake of jokes, you're either going to become hack or a monologue or comedian like a late night talk show host.
Or you're gonna alienate half of your audience.
Oh, you're going to alienate half of your audience. And that's why I started throwing my Trump jokes out. That really wasn't my attempt as a humor. Like, you go back to the history of comedy, Will Rogers, Mark Twain, like, political satire is ingrained in our fabric. Those political cartoons from the 1800s, we've always made fun of politicians. Dude. But now more than ever, people have basically assigned the political parties to their lifestyle. Mm-hmm. I'm not just conservative, it's anti-American if you feel this way. I'm not just liberal, you hate America if you say this. And I think that's the difference why everyone's afraid to say anything.
That's why I try to stay away from it. And even if I try to talk about anything political, I always get labeled, oh, you're a conservative or you're a liberal and stuff. And the way that I look at it is I've lost faith in the whole political system a long time ago.
USA.
Yeah, I really did. But I mean, I still think we're a great country compared to a lot of the other countries. So I don't want anybody to think I'm being un-American because we could be at a zero COVID system like China is, and where you're living out on the street because you have a red rating and you are a successful businessman, but you can't go home because you can't get into your house because you tested positive for COVID a couple of days ago. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of kids, has there ever been a joke that you've written that you decided not to do because you were like, eh? Because like, you're not going to offend any. You're not going to offend me. You're not going to offend anybody in my audience. But, like, mm-hmm. is there a joke where you're like, eh, I'm not going
to
do it?
I do think the writing process, you write down whatever that's funny to you. And unfortunately, there's a self-edit part, right? Where you say, that doesn't work. I'm not really feeling that. I'll try this at an open mic. And then if you do the open mic and that works out, you put it in your set. Because of this, it's that preemptive stuff, that Minority Report stuff, where you go, this may offend this person. This may offend that person. I'm not even going to risk it and cut that out. So yes, that kind of happens pretty often because you don't really know what's going to be offensive today or tomorrow. You got to basically the right joke for the next 5 or 10 years. Even words that I used to say when I was a kid, we can't say. Just because of the nature of the business. Well, I don't think anyone's getting more uptight or more politically correct. I think that we just have more of a platform to say things are offending us.
Okay, what do you think about stuff, jokes that were told that were accepted at the time they were told, but then 15, 20 years later, we go back and we're like, oh, look at what such and such did. Like, yeah. I mean, we're even canceling people for jokes that happened 15 years ago, 20 years ago.
Yeah, I do think that there's a room for us to reevaluate art in today's lens and say this isn't for us. I'll give you an example. When I went to film school, graduate school, college the second time, there was a poster. I mean, granted, I was in California, which is really outside of California, considered a liberal state, quote unquote. They have a giant poster of Birth of a Nation. Have you seen that movie?
Who's in it? I'm bad with titles.
1934, it was a silent film. Basically, it was a film that re-inspired the Klan. Right. So was a lot of the villains that people were in blackface and they were eating watermelon and drinking whiskey and all that stuff. And so I asked my professors, I go, hey, look, I understand that this movie is important because Birth of a Nation is very technical sound for its time. But I go, why is this on the wall today in 2007 or whatever? And they said, well, you can't erase history. So I go this. if you talk about comedy and humor and stuff, we have a right to say, hey, look, let's keep this album in the archives. You know, Richard Pryor is one of his best albums of all time. You half the country can't even say that.
I know exactly which one you're talking about.
At the same time, just because it exists and it held value and held merit, we don't have to put it on the same level today because tastes change. I mean, I think there's not one or the other. We can't just say it's canceled. Now, people do that, but I go, there's too much gray area. I look at a movie real quick, like Breakfast at Tiffany's. They'll still air that movie, but they'll do a little disclaimer at the beginning saying, hey, look, Mickey Rooney is not really Asian. You made people offended, but here you go. And there's some movies you don't see anymore. Like, when's Disney ever going to release Song of the South? They're not.
I'm glad you brought that up because that's a story that hit this week in the news. They're replacing Splash Mountain.
Correct.
At Disney because of the Song of the South theme that's associated with that ride.
Right. Well, Disney is a private, well, not a private company, but they are a publicly traded company. They can do whatever they like. It isn't like American history. There's no one breaking into a library and missing it. Mm. But Disney was putting themselves into a corner, right? Because as you're trying to push for
Don't say gay bill and stuff. Like, you see what I'm saying? Like, you can't be tolerant to want, you see what I'm saying? And then be like, but I still say what you want. I think it's a cinematic movie that I think is actually has its place. Was it a little insensitive? Yes, it was. But still
it was a
classic.
Lot insensitive. But the thing is, even if it wasn't, it doesn't matter what I feel. Disney made a very conscious effort to put it in the vault and not bring it out. Mm-hmm. So you have a ride that's taking up space from a movie you cannot profit off of. The point of me going to the ride is going, oh, wow,
I saw that movie.
So great. Let me go watch Alice in Wonderland again. If I can't see the movie after on the ride, what's the point of the ride? So it's like, forget my feelings. It was totally a business decision, which I'm saying I'm not going to clap Disney for being inclusive and make me feel better. It's they have things to sell. And the movie they can't sell anymore.
Uncle Remus, though, did a great job in that movie, though. I wonder, I always try to find out what he got paid for that role.
Mm, yeah.
I bet he got screwed.
I would say so.
Yeah. So you do that. So, like, what's your schedule like? Are you doing weddings and stand-up shows in the same week? Are you hosting stuff?
Yeah, for sure. So most weddings are on the weekends, mostly Saturdays and Sundays. In California, it's March to October, really the wedding season. Mm-hmm. Saturday during the day, I'm not doing the wedding side. I'm usually doing the announcing for esports and video games, which pretty much leaves my weekend.
Wait, back up. So you're doing announcing for esports games?
Yeah. I'm a shoutcaster. So basically, it's like what John Madden used to do. Instead of like for real.
So you're doing for Madden or like FIFA? Like do you do FIFA, Madden, like NCAA basketball?
Sure.
Yeah.
My primary game is a game called Rocket League, but I also have done things for F1 and WWE 2K.
So those F1, like racing series type stuff?
Yeah, the EA games F1 22. WWE 2K23, and then Rocket League. So they're video games. I do commentary.
Is Rocket League the car one with the soccer?
Correct.
Yeah. Okay.
3v3. Yeah. Where you're playing soccer with cars on the field, and I get to be like, oh my gosh, what a shot! It was amazing. Kind of a thing.
Who are some of the sports broadcasters you kind of like when you're doing that? Like you kind of get a little bit of inspiration from. Like what are the ones that you're like kind of model myself?
Sure. I would say the biggest influence is Michael Cole or WWE, but Arlo White in Premier League Soccer. If you've seen Ted Lasso.
Yeah, Arlo. Yeah. Peter Drury. You need. Have you ever? Or Ian Dark. He's another soccer announcer. Another soccer announcers, but like you know, they always talk about. We always talk about how the Mexican announcers, the guy on Telemundo that does. The soccer, and they were like, why does every sports call sound better in Spanish? And I was like, oh, it's great.
It's the rhythm of language. If you want my personal opinion, which I told you I've been asking for, I'm telling you.
Anyway, I want it.
It's the rhythm of language. English and German, because it happens when I'm trying to write jokes, too, because your jokes have to have a rhythm.
German sounds angry all the time.
But that so does English. If you don't speak English, English is very like going to the store, getting some milk. Romance languages like Spanish and French.
They have rhythm. Like, it's rhythm.
They have rhythm. You ever see Italian people? They always do that. Like, it's always like da-da-da-da-da. Or Portuguese is always sha-sha-sha-sha. Like, it's always a sing-song to it. So you have that with a crescendo of a game that's based completely on suspense. It is like, oh my gosh, cuidado, cuidado. I mean, it's like a big deal because every moment the heart's pouring out through the words.
Have you ever, so you do the F1 stuff, have you ever done yourself a favor and listened to the Motor Racing Network that does NASCAR? It is some of the best, like, radio announcing. Okay, there's a big difference between TV announcing and radio announcing. I think radio announcers will always be better than the TV announcers.
It's a good rule of thumb because not many people are willing to rely on saying, look, I got to describe things you can't see, especially when you start out. So I would say all things being equal, the radio broadcast tends to be the better one. But of course, there's some exceptions.
But I just feel like they gotta portray more feeling, more emotion in their voice and stuff. I mean, who's the guy that everybody hates that does baseball and football?
There's
with
so many.
Well,
Joe Buck.
Yeah, Joe Buck. Yes, everybody hates. Everybody talks shit about Joe Buck, and I'm just like, he's not that bad. I mean, but everybody likes the guy that just passed away that does the Dodger that did the Dodgers games.
Scully.
Yeah, Scully. Everybody loved him. There are so many icon. Okay, so I once again, ADHD's kicking in. What do you think is one of your favorite sports calls?
Wow. There's a lot of them, man. I would say last year I got the MLB TV package, and I've been blessed with checking out Gary, Keith, and Ron over in New York covering the Mets games. Mm-hmm. Gary Cohen's just so good. I find myself saying, he struck him out, the ball game is over, myself many times, or it's out of here many times. And so I'll say that number one with the bullet, but I don't really have a favorite call because I'm more of a wrestling guy. I watch more hours of
wrestling. Wait, you're a wrestling guy? Okay. So, you know, like I got Joe the Supermark here that's in the chat room right now. Do you realize he has a full back tattoo of Hogan on his back? Like this guy. Hey, Joe, if you want to call in, please, you can call in 407-270-3044. I think you would definitely be able to. But being over in Tampa, like, we met a lot of the wrestlers. Oh, yeah. And Hogan used to come on the Bubba the Love Sponge show, which I worked on. And I don't know. Do you know all the inside info about the sex tape and all that?
Yeah.
I was working there when all that, the heyday of that was going on. And I mean, the Nasty Boys would be in. You would have, like,
of course, like, just Hogan is always a Nasty Boy.
Yeah. You would just randomly see wrestlers around Tampa all the time. And it was crazy. Mark Marrow, I did a lot of stuff with him. Who was your favorite wrestler growing up?
Growing up, you're going to laugh at this. And there was the big three were Razor Ramon, Tatanka, and Duke the Dumpster Drozzi.
Like, Wait, who is that?
He lasted like 6 months, and he was a guy that was a garbage man that wrestled. And I thought that was so cool. He was so strong. He took a second job throwing people for a living. I thought that was amazing.
Razor Ramon. He loved playing the bad guy. Rest in peace. He just died recently. Oh, all right. Hold on. I think Joe is calling in. Hold on. This guy, you want to talk about a guy that knows wrestling? Hey, Joe, are you there?
I'm here. What's popping?
Hey, Joe, I got Flobo here with me. He is a big...
Flobo, what up, cousin?
Can you hear him?
I can't hear Flobo, no.
No, you can't hear him at all? I have it all set up correctly. Oh, man, that sucks. I don't know why that's work. Hold on. Say one thing, Flobo, see if you can hear him.
Hey, now.
Nope, nothing. Why can you not hear him? Jesus Christ, let me unpair my Bluetooth here and see if that'll work. Huh, interesting.
You'll figure it out. You're a champ.
I know. Hey, you got my number, right, Joe?
Your cell phone, yeah.
Yeah, call me on that. I'll pipe in through my phone. How's that?
All righty.
I want to see if that works. All right. Sorry. I know that I'm not being very professional and stuff, but
say hello to the bad guy.
But no, I mean, he was really, really good though, right? I mean, Razor Ramon was the best. Yeah, I thought he was. Hold on, Joe. I've got my, it's connecting now. Hold on. Let me see. Oh, Joe, damn it. Hold on. Let me just call him here. This is such bad. There we go. Hey, Joe, are you there? Oh, why is this? Give me 1 second, Joe. This is so bad. So unprofessional, but I want you to talk because if you're a wrestling fan, Joe is the guy like you need to talk to because this guy is he's got a full back tattoo of Hogan. You there, Joe?
I'm here.
Can you hear him? All right, there we go.
I can hear him a little bit.
All right, cool. All right, here we go.
I heard him before talking about Dude the Dumpster Drosy.
Yeah.
You remember Dale Hopper?
Yeah, T.L. Hopper, the plumber, yeah.
Yeah.
Dark times.
Who was though, the goon? Do you remember the goon, the hockey player?
Yeah, the hockey player, yeah.
One of my favorite wrestlers of all time, and he only wrestled one match in WWF. He was a wrestling magician. His name was Fantasio. And he had the best gimmick ever. At the end of the match, he gave the referee a wedgie, and he pulled his underwear right out from underneath his pants. It was genius.
Was banned forever.
Hey, so Joe, tell Flobo the time when was it Monday Night Raw that you were a part of, where Hogan like brought you into the ring that one time, or what was it?
We ended up doing it 3 times. We did it in Philadelphia. We did it in Montreal, Canada, which was the best of all. But the one that was on pay-per-view was in Backlash of 2005. It was in Manchester, New Hampshire. And right at the end, Hulk Hogan and Shawn Michaels' first tag team match ever together. Hulk Hogan and Shawn Michaels posed down every side of the ring again and again. And they were done. They were about to leave. And then Hebner brought them back in to raise their arms up one more time. And when he did that, Hogan looked over his shoulder. He just happened to notice me in the front row. And then he waved me to come in. So I hopped over the guardrail and I jumped in the ring and I was about to lift up my shirt to show the tattoo. And I had 2 shirts on and they pulled it back down. And then Shawn grabbed one side, Hogan grabbed the other, and they ripped my shirts to pieces. And then I was topless in the ring with big jugs and a hairy back. But I still had a Hulk Hogan tattoo, so that was positive. So then Hogan suggested that we pose down. So we posed down in front of 12,000 fans and millions watching all over the world. And it was an experience somebody couldn't even pay $1 million for.
But you had no shirt, and it was April. What'd you do after that?
Oh, well, I had the pieces. I had the back of one shirt and the piece of another shirt. And I wore them over my shoulder like it was a towel. But the front of the shirt, the yellow Hulkamania shirt I wore, was hanging right over the second rope on the other side of the ring. So I never got it. And the craziest thing about that shirt was it was when Hogan re-released the brand new yellow, beautiful, bright Hulkamania shirt. And I was in Madison Square Garden. And I didn't want to get the shirt on the way in because I'd have to carry it the whole show. So I went to get it on the way out. And every merchandise stand was sold out of that shirt. I'm running back into the garden, pretending like I forgot something, hitting every merchandise stand. They're all sold out. So when I got to Manchester, New Hampshire, first thing I did was buy that shirt, put it on, and I said, I'm not losing this one. And then it got fucking torn to pieces.
Hell, you not.
But yeah, Joe. Go ahead, Joe.
Well, I was going to tell you the best part of all, Bubba the Love Sponge has been fired off the radio since February of 2004. He's the one that dared me to get the tattoo. So he said if I got the tattoo, that he would fly me down to Florida. I would hang out with Hogan for an entire day, go out to eat, go out on his boat and everything in between, go to the gym even, which was a fat ass doing going to the gym. I don't know, but that was part of the game. So I said, yeah, I'll get it. 4 sittings of 5 hours apiece, 20 hours later, August of 2003, I get the tattoo. I wait for my payoff, and then by February of 2004, he's fired. So there's really no deal. And then, but the bomb is by May of 2005, you know, a year or whatever later, a year and a couple of months, Bubba comes out and finds me out in the crowd in New Hampshire. He had flown up to New Hampshire with Hogan. He comes out and finds me in the crowd. I looked over my shoulder. I'm like, oh my God, Project. I flipped the fuck out. Oh, it was so awesome. What a great time. He gave me his number. We connected after. Hung out with Hogan. I was so high on some bomb-ass weed. Hogan's like, smells good, brother. Never
so
forget
Hogan
it.
Is like, what, top seven for you? Number seven in all time?
Honestly, I don't even like Hulk Hogan. I watch him, and I think he's great to watch, but I think Shawn Michaels is the best wrestler.
Ooh, after all of that.
Yeah.
What about you, Flobo?
That's a hard question. I'm a D'Lo Brown guy, but I understand it's a hard sell for most people.
What about New Jack?
D'Lo Brown is right now?
Yeah, New Jack's okay. What's up? What was that, Joe?
I just said, did you ever see how fat D'Lo Brown is right now?
Oh, yeah. I actually interviewed him last year, and it was kind of like a bucket list thing, but yeah, you know.
He's a cool guy. I got nothing against him except for he broke Draz's neck and paralyzed him.
Yeah. Hey, they worked it out. They forgave each other.
Hey,
of course. Forgiveness is the biggest thing. That's why I learned that. I read the whole Bible.
Hey, yeah, no, Joe is a, he. Don't get it wrong. Don't get it twisted. Joe is a supermark for God, though. He is, like, which is a great thing. But, you know, he's a supermark for wrestling, supermark for God, too.
So that means
I'm just a supermark, bottom line it. I mark out to everything, new food at all these restaurants. I mark out everything, all the toys from Ninja Turtles to He-Man to everything in between. I collected them all. G.I. Joe, Transformers. I had every single one. And then when I started buying my own toys when I grew up, I got my first job at 14. I started buying two of every toy because one wasn't enough.
All right, Joe. Well, listen, is Bubba doing $199 tonight?
Tonight it's starting right now. So when you get off, you get on that line, call him up.
I have to give him a call. All right, Joe, have a good one. Okay.
I can't wait to hear you, brother. Thank you guys.
All right, man. Bye. I thought you would like, cause he is a big wrestling fan. Oh my God.
Oh yeah. I can tell. Wrestling fans are passionate. Well, I respect.
You know, like the only wrestler, New Jack was the one that like I was actually legitimately afraid of. Do you remember Jack? Like, dude, when he came in, his forehead looked like one of those. You remember those globes back in the day where you could like feel the mountains and stuff? You know, it was one of those topical, or I forget what they, topography ones where you could actually see the elevation. That's what his forehead was like because, like, he had like cut himself so many times.
His dark side of the ring was actually pretty cool.
He almost killed that kid. Mm-hmm. Like, man, man. Anyways, Flobo, before we go, tell my audience how they can check out any of your stuff. And I always like my guests to give me a little bit of a rating on the interview. You know, I like to get, you know, feedback and everything. So do promote your stuff first before you tell me how crappy the interview was so we can get the promotion stuff. I let the promotion stuff happen before where I'm not like, you know what, screw you, guy. I'm not letting you promote anything.
Yeah, I got you. No, I appreciate that. Well, thankfully, in my career now, you could just Google it. You can Google Flobo Boys and things will come up. Thank goodness. Took me 15 years to get there. But most of my stuff is on Spotify. So my comedy albums, some of my novelty songs, my podcasts are available on Spotify. You can follow me on that Twitter, at Flobo Boys. That's FLOBOBOYCE. And the website is flobito.com, FLOBITO.com. And as far as the interview, it was interesting. You know, it was cool. It was challenging. It made me think.
Challenging.
Yeah, no, because sometimes you get like, okay, so you do enough of these interviews, there's kind of the same questions you kind of get all the time. Hey, where are you from? Where you started? What do you like to do?
I just like to have just a regular conversation with somebody. Like it just, did you ever think we would like have a guy that has a Hulk Hogan tattoo on, a full back tattoo? Of
you think when I saw that coming? No, I predicted.
Oh,
that.
You did. Okay,
like, right. We're definitely going to have a tattoo.
And you think when I say back tattoo, you probably think, oh, it's just a little tattoo in between the shoulder blades. No, like Hogan's head takes up one shoulder blade, and then it goes.
And it's not even his favorite wrestler.
It's a full back tattoo of Hogan doing the, you know, I'm a real American hero pose. So he had that done. All right. So, what are some of your next food combinations before I want to?
Yeah, those are all like user generated. So if there's a hot item you want me to try, something trendy, I'm a donut guy, I'm a burger guy, you should default to that. But yeah, if you have something you want me to try out, first time reaction, I'll make it happen.
I was going, you know what, I'm not going to bring up, because you think that I debated on talking about it, but you brought up this food item. And I will send you the video. A year ago, I did this. A year ago, before I even knew who Flobo Boyce was, okay?
No one knows who I am. It's fine.
No, before I knew who you were. Look, I interview a lot of people. It was a joke.
I was kidding.
I got, because cancel culture, like, I got to be, but I debated on, like, telling you, but I did this, actually, it probably was 2 years ago, and now I eat it all the time. I mean, okay, you brought up this food item earlier, mustard on watermelon. I eat it all the time. And I debated on bringing that up to you because I was like, cancel culture and stuff. This guy's probably going to be like, this white guy. But I eat it all the time. I fucking love it. I'm addicted to it. I fucking love it.
Yeah.
I can't wait to get off of this honky show right now.
You know what? I want to say I thank you for it. Because if you did ask me about watermelon out of nowhere, I probably would have thought that. I would have come to that conclusion. So that, now it makes perfect sense. That said, saw the trend, I'm out. Because I don't even like yellow mustard. The only mustard I eat is like stone ground or horseradish mustard. And I know that it's a
mustard.
I don't do yellow mustard.
Really?
I don't do yellow mustard. It's terrible. If I get pretzels, definitely getting that stone ground.
How do you eat a hot dog then?
Don't do this. This is going to be a bad decision.
No, I got to hear about this, because if you're from the New York area and you eat a hot dog, you just go mustard on the hot dog.
So here's the deal. Because my parents are poor, we used to have hot dogs in the freezer as breakfast food. I almost never buy it outside, because to me, it's like a hardship food. It's like, times are tough, get the hot dogs. I don't eat them at all. I try to avoid them. So I don't, not to be bougie about it, I just can't.
I ate a ketchup sandwich one time.
Just like,
I ate a ketchup sandwich one time. As poor white trash living in the South. I did. I had a ketchup sandwich.
Would you do it again?
If I was hungry enough, you got to eat what you got to eat, man.
Fair enough.
I mean, we look at food as like an enjoyment thing. You don't you think we really have like, we do. I get enjoyment out of food. It sucks. I don't know what happened in our lives that we just ate food for enjoyment and didn't look at food as like a just fuel for us. You get what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. I'm totally with you. I feel like there's some foods that growing up I would eat because we were poor and I still love. Like, I love Vienna sausages, for example. But if someone's like, yo, we got hot dogs, I'm like, I got any burgers? You got any pretzels?
Yeah.
Did you have brisket?
Spam? Did you ever eat Spam back in the day?
I had a Spam phase. It was like when I was 8 or 9, I ate Spam all the time. And it kind of tapered off. But yeah, it was part of diet.
Grilled cheese sandwiches? I think
grilled cheese sandwiches were not my thing.
Because
I like to have something else. I'm a ham guy. Ham and cheese sandwich, great.
Wait, so when you go with your lunch meat, do you go like thick slice? Do you like your thick slice ham, or do you go thin slice ham? Do you go honey baked? Yeah. What do you go with?
When I was a kid, it was definitely the perfect circles of the Oscar Mayer multi-pack. but now I usually get the ham steak, so thick, right?
Yeah, we even ate that little plastic rubber ring around the bologna from the Oscar Mayer, you know, back in the day, we were like, those are calories.
Throwing stones in that glass house.
I mean, we would do all that, man. There was some stuff, like we would never go buy donuts. Like we would, you know, we would buy the, you know how you could get the biscuit rolls. You can get the biscuits rolls and you'd have to like slam it on the counter to bust it open. We would make our own donuts. Like my mom would take an old like medicine bottle and cut the donut holes out of the biscuits and we would fry those and put like cinnamon sugar. It was the best fucking thing. I love that type of stuff. Bugles. Did you guys have bugles back in the day?
Oh yeah. The hand things.
Yeah. You can make them like fingernail things. So we would we would take bugles. My mom, when we'd had friends over, would like, hey, honey, will you and your friends want a treat? And I'm like, yeah, mom. All right, I'm going to take three slices of Velveeta single wrap cheese, and I'm going to put those on top of the Bugles, and I'm going to throw it in the microwave for about an hour and a half until it's all just one solid piece of thing. And then we would just be like, oh, thanks, Mom. We got Velveeta cheese on Bugles. And we wouldn't even get, like, the Bugles because, like, we would have some of these off the wall, like convenience stores down here, like Winn-Dixie. Man, God,
oh yeah.
That, I mean,
Food Lion.
Yeah, Food Lion. But they all had like their own brand of like products. Like you could, their Mountain Dew at Winn-Dixie was Country Mist. Yeah. Hey, Mom, can we get some Mountain Dew? And she'd come home and it'd be Country Mist, and I'd be like, "This ain't it's the same thing. It's just called Country Mist." And then, like, we'd have Czech sodas.
Oh, yeah. I used to drink a case a day. Back when I'm in my heavy phase, I was drinking a case of Czech soda a day.
What about Walmart had Sam's Cola back in the day, though, too?
If you've been to St. Augustine, Sam's Club or Walmart's like way past State Road 312.
Yeah.
So you got a ride, you would say, stop at Winn-Dixie, and I'll get like two cases of Czech. And that in 2 days, those were gone. I was drinking two cases every 2 days.
Oh, man. God, I have people probably listening to me. I was like, oh, no wonder this guy's doing a podcast now.
Yeah,
me
too. No wonder this guy's a guest on a podcast. Stay in school, kids. Don't be like me.
Well, listen, Flubbo, I really enjoyed this interview.
Likewise.
I like it when I can just have a guest on and I can just, the next thing I know, I look down because I've literally had you on for an hour.
Hey.
So I can't thank you enough. It's a Friday. I was tired. I worked a lot, and I really needed you to help me get through this show, and I'm glad that it was great.
Thanks. Hey, you know, thank you for having me on, and if you're watching now, man, hit that like button, subscribe, you know, give you some stars, dollars. Where are we streaming on, Twitch?
I'm on Twitch, I'm on YouTube, I'm on Twitter,
Bits.
And I'm on Facebook.
Super chats.
Yeah,
stars.
Super chat.
Give everything.
I felt so good the first time I got my first like YouTube check. It wasn't a lot, but like I was like, you know, it was kind of like, oh, I'm getting paid to do something I like.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's even though it's like I make about $200 a month off of my YouTube, and then like every 2 or 3 months, like Twitch will throw me a $300 check, you know. So like I mean,
it's one of those things where I could tell you that not many people understand to celebrate with you, but I will. So props, bro. That means
it's great.
There's a lot of guys out there who's not doing it.
No, and like I do it like for a while, like I would cover up the amount of viewers at one time. Like I would put like a little post-it note so I couldn't see because it would bother me sometimes. And it's like I'm not doing it. I'm doing this to build an audience. I'm building this to engage an audience. And I think a lot of people do get discouraged when they're creating content online, because you look at Mr. Beast, you look at all these big guys, and if you look when they first started off in their journey and stuff, they did not have a lot of people.
Oh yeah, I don't necessarily agree with this content all the time, but if you look at Joe Rogan, his number one, Joe Rogan Experience number one is still on YouTube, and it is not the show he does now. It's so rudimentary. It's so old school. It's so like step one. You know?
Do you have any of your old stuff?
Yeah, everything. That's what I'm saying. I've been doing it for so long that you can put my name into any search engine. Google, Bing, YouTube, Pinterest. Stuff comes up because I've been doing this for like 20 years.
Hey, can I get you to come on the show again? And I would like to do an air check of your first show that you did, podcast.
Yeah.
And then I will play my first show that I did on my podcast. And we can kind of review each other. I actually think that would be some great content. Matter of fact, if you want to, like, if you want to come on my show, we can review my stuff or we can review your stuff or vice versa or whatever. If you wanted, I know I'm being rude by trying to invite myself on any of your content, but what I'm trying to say though is like, let's talk about that. I think that would be a great bit.
Yeah, why not? I mean, it's there. It's out in public. I'm willing to cringe with you live. Mm. Live. See me cringe.
Mm. All right, Flubbo. I hope you have a great weekend, my friend. And I really enjoyed this. I think you're a great dude. Please check out Flubbo. What's the main website that people need to go to find out any of your links?
Yeah, flobito.com, FLOBITO.com.
All right, man. I hope you have a wonderful night and a great weekend.
All right, same to you.
All right, man. Bye. All right, guys, going to get out of here. Thanks to my guest, Flobo, for coming on the show. I think he gave a weird look. Did you see he was, like, looking off into the corner there? I was like, God, I'm glad this is finally over with. Anyways, nice guy. Going to get out of here, guys. Hopefully you enjoyed today's show. Hopefully you guys stay safe, and I will talk to you on Monday.